Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome in on the 100 Kings Countdown on the radio show. We will be doing 40s by the time the week is over. We will be in the 40s by the time the week is over. Really glad that you guys are here again on this Tuesday night. What we're talking about tonight, Ole Miss lost a pair of off-the-field staff members. How big of a deal is it? You had two totally opposite reactions to it. And the truth, as always, lies somewhere in the middle. You had, oh my God, this is the worst day ever. The sky is falling. These guys literally are the only people that recruit, and you cannot replace them at all. And this sucks, and they're going to go 6-6 forever. And then you had the other side, which was like, ah, this is absolutely no big deal at all. Whatever. Doesn't matter at all. The truth, of course, somewhere in the middle. Also, the attendees for SEC Media Days got released today. And we'll talk about that just a little bit. And then we will get to your comments as well on this edition of the podcast. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube as well. Don't forget to like, leave a comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Really looking forward. Again, we are working on our kind of like our action plan for SEC Media Days this week, of course. And really excited about the potential of what I can bring to you guys. Of course, what we're doing on the radio show is going to be outstanding. But also I'm excited about what I'm going to get to bring to you guys this coming week. So be on the lookout for that. We'll get into the news of the day after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotabrookhaven.com. They're also on Exit 40 in Brookhaven. The car buying experience can be a stressful one. They know that. They understand that, and they will approach it that way. They will take care of you like a person, and I promise you they will take care of you just in general because they'll give you $1,000 on me if you just tell them that I sent you any in-stock new Toyota. Just tell them that I sent you. $1,000 off before anything else. Great in-house financing, especially if you're wanting to get a new Tundra. They also have a service department that's open 7 a.m., 7 p.m., one of the highest rated in the state as well. Right there at Toyota of Brookhaven, they will deliver. So, Ole Miss loses a pair of recruiting-based staff members. The first one is broken by Chase Parham, now of 24/7. I almost said Rebel Grove, but that's not really a thing anymore. He's at 24/7 now, and he's the one that broke it. Kelvin Bolden, the director of recruiting strategy for Ole Miss, Chase reported that he was in talks to go to LSU, and ultimately that came to fruition. He is now going to LSU to work under the general manager there. It is seemingly a step up in title, even though all of these titles I mean, the director of recruiting strategy, is that better or worse than the assistant GM? Like, what about director of player personnel and all those things? I mean, all these titles can get confusing at times, but did take that opportunity to go to LSU. And then also later in the day, it was reported that Ole Miss Director of Player Personnel Alex Brown is off to the Atlanta Falcons to work in the scouting department there for the NFL team, although at times the Falcons don't play like an NFL team. They are an NFL team, apparently so, and he is off there. So the old two things or multiple things can be true at the same time. Bolden is a rock star. He has been heavily involved in Ole Miss's recruiting efforts. And the thing with he and Brown both, I mean, you cannot have two people that work in your recruiting or your talent evaluation departments and have what Ole Miss has become and say that they did not do a good job. Both of these guys, I think, are losses for Ole Miss for sure. Again, that they have done much better last cycle. They've done much better in high school recruiting, and their player evaluation ability in the transfer portal has been absolutely outstanding. It's not just that they go get players out of the portal. They go get players out of the portal that are impact guys. Their hit rate on portal players has been outstanding. And so the people that are involved in their recruiting efforts not being there, or their scouting or talent evaluation or player, the director of player personnel, the guys that have been involved in that during a time in which it's been so good, leaving is not a good thing. All right, breaking news, more at 11. It is not a particularly good thing that you're losing people that have done a good job for you. So that can be true. It can also be true that you can find people that have done the jobs that they have done rather quickly. And to think that after what Lane has done from a staff perspective, after what you know about the connections that Pete Golding has, after the way that they've structured everything with Billy Glasscock and others, that they can't find adequate, if not equal, if not possibly better replacements for the two guys that they are losing, I think you'd be a little crazy to doubt their ability to do that. Now, they have to go out and do it. It's only a loss. In college football, if you're doing well, people are going to want your guys. It's always been that way. Now in the portal era, they want your players. They want your coach. They want your staff members. They want what you have. They want your offense. Everybody wants everybody else's thing when they're successful. So you're going to lose staff members. It will happen. You're going to lose staff members that you like. You're going to fire staff members that you don't like. That's the nature of college football. Where it becomes a real, true loss is if you do not replace them with people that are up for the job. And so far at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin's been able to do that. There's been staff turnover, off the field guys and otherwise, and they've done a good job replacing them. The structure that they have built, I think that these two guys can, although apparently quite good at their job, these two guys can be replaced, and they have a structure in place that will allow for them to do that and do it adequately. So both of those things can be true at the exact same time, and there's no reason to worry about it until you are given a reason to worry about it. You know, you don't want to lose people, but I think that Lane and Pete and Billy Glasscock and their structure have earned the benefit of the doubt from a staff perspective. I do not think the sky is falling. I think that this is just how college sports work. And also I've seen some reaction of, well, why didn't you just give them a promotion? Why didn't you just give them what they wanted? You know, just give them more money. Just give them this title. Well, what if they don't think that they've earned that title? What if they think that the people that currently sit in the position that people are clamoring for these guys that have left to have, what if they like the job that they're doing? What if they don't think that they have, I don't know. I just did this idea, and it happened around a contract extension, talks around a contract extension for a non-revenue sport coach. Well, just give them whatever they want. No, that's not really how you need to operate a business. If you've got somebody in a particular position, and you don't just give promotions to, I don't know. I think that's a weird line of thinking. Oh, why didn't they just give him the title that he wants? Well, what happens if you have somebody in that position that you like better? I don't know. Off the field staff is a little bit more complicated than on the field staff, because you can literally look at the results on the field and judge, okay, defense is bad. Defensive coordinator must be doing a bad job. who is responsible directly for Ole Miss's recruiting efforts? Is it the GM? Is it the head coach? Is it the coordinators? Or is it these two guys? It's hard to know for sure exactly what that structure is. But again, it's not something that I think is totally fine. No big deal. Brush it off. Who cares? Doesn't matter. When you're losing your director of player personnel and your personnel has been quite good, that's not nothing. But it's also not panic time either, if that makes sense. Also, the attendees for SEC Media Days were released today, and it's a good list. Austin Simmons obviously going. You knew that was coming. Yeah, he's going to be a star walking around on Monday. People are going to really like what they hear from him. He, despite being young and quite inexperienced on the field, this is his third year in college. You guys heard my interview with him. He's very bright and engaging, and he'll do a good job. Same thing with Caden Lee. Now, last year he wasn't, didn't get all the attention at the wide receiver position. I think you guys are going to really like what you hear from him as well. Very sharp, bright kid, and he'll get to peacock a little bit. He'll have the hair, and people will talk about the hair. But what comes with that is what looks like a guy that can be a highly productive receiver, especially stepping in to the role that Jordan Watkins is leaving behind. And then this one I was a little surprised by. TJ Dottery is going to represent the defense. I know a lot of people, myself included, maybe thought that Zentarian Perkins would be the guy that would go, considering I think he's going to be a first-team All-SEC guy. But as Pete Golding said, I mean, Dottery's their green dot guy, right? He's the one that makes all the calls on that defense. Presumably that you can trust him, in front of cameras, and he can be smart and thoughtful. So maybe it's just as simple as that. Maybe he's earned it. I don't know. He was a really good player for Ole Miss last year, and Pete Golding has publicly given him a ton of praise for what he brings back to that defense. So, I'm excited to hear from him. I don't know, frankly, all that much about him. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity of getting to talk with him one-on-one and seeing what he's all about. So looking forward to bringing you guys all of those interviews as well. But it all makes sense. It's fine. I still think that my idea of bringing Xavien Harris just to have him walk around would have been funny. Just because he's a giant and people would have done like you'd have seen it on Radio Row. I guess they're not calling it Radio Row anymore. It's like broadcast something or other because, you've got live podcasts and stuff now that are doing their thing there. But just for them to stop and be like, who the hell's that guy? That would have been funny. Lenora Sellers is going to have that kind of, head turning impact as well. I think he's huge and you don't really think he's as big as he is because he moves as well as he is. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You guys don't care about that. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered if you're a Mississippi business for all of your office technology needs. Anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is. If it's tech, if it's in the office, absms.com will take care of you and tell them that I sent you. They'll give you a complimentary office technology assessment. So you just tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they'll find that solution for you on me. It's also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. An outstanding one. I use it literally every day. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. They also have local loan servicing and decision making. So you tell them what you need and what your budget. All right, no. They have local loan servicing and decision making, so you'll sit down with somebody face to face. That was embarrassing, but that's okay. We press on, and not somebody on Zoom or out of state. Priority One Bank, to make you their priority. Good vibes from South Alabama. Glad to see you, James. Appreciate you. How we doing? We're doing good. We're doing really good. What up? Me. A little later than I should be. Also, as of the starting of this, somebody was up, and he should not have been when he was up. So let's see. Oh, he's snoozing now. Good. Good deal. Tuesday night special. Yeah, something like that. Got to take the little man to see the new Superman movie. The new Jurassic Park before Superman. But yeah, I mean, he loves that stuff. So we'll probably do both. We're just now into the can sit through an entire movie stage. So you'd have thought the world was ending yesterday based off of Bolden leaving. Neil and Chase hit it on the head. It's a loss for sure. But if staff is leaving, that means you're doing something good. Exactly. This is what happens when you're successful in college football. And you cannot, you simply cannot keep everybody you want to keep all the time. And you can't just constantly just move people up, bump people up. Because if you've got somebody above them that is doing a job that you like, you're not, what are you going to do with them? It's just, this is just part of it. This is part of running a good program. Well, that's in part what made Nick Saban so successful. It was process and things like that, but he hired well and just kept hiring well, and he would lose staff and it wouldn't matter. That's what Lane Kiffin needs to continue to do. That's what he's done well so far, but that's what he needs to continue to do is when you lose staff, you just have to keep replacing them. The social media reaction to it was a little extreme, I think in part because people, it's just kind of how things are in the summer, but Oklahoma's looking for a new AD also. Yeah. And that's going to drag out for a while. Because he's not retiring right now. So Mississippi State fans are going to have to deal with that for a while. Can we talk about recruiting in the state of Mississippi for a second? Ole Miss is in on some guys, but not all. Mississippi State has become irrelevant with top prospects, and outside schools are getting most guys. You know what's interesting is that I think that's becoming a trend in a lot of places. Look at the state of Louisiana right now. I think what's happening in part is a short-sighted approach from young people that are getting bad advice. The Sacramento State thing, if that sticks, is it's dumb. It's dumb. I grew up on FCS football. I love FCS football. FCS programs put players in the NFL. It's not the same. It's not anywhere close to the same. And to chase possibly more money, not possibly, to chase more money to go to Sacramento State as opposed to playing in the SEC. Forget Ole Miss for a second. As opposed to playing anywhere in the SEC that offered you. If that sticks, it's a short-sighted decision. It's not the smartest long-term option for a college football player. If you can play in the SEC or at Sacramento State, you play in the SEC every time, regardless of how much money you get in the short term. Long term, it's not smart. I think it's a similar phenomenon to the Quinn Ewers thing that we talked about before. People said that, oh, Quinn Ewers made a mistake. He shouldn't have entered the draft. He should have hit the portal, gotten some money, and gone somewhere. Maybe he should have. But what Quinn Ewers now will be able to go back to at Texas is a legacy forever. He will always be Quinn Ewers, the Texas quarterback that played well and took Texas to the playoff. And that name in the state of Texas will carry weight forever. There are former players from programs all over the country that have normal businesses that get patronized very well because of their name. That includes Ole Miss players all over. Guys that were good in college, maybe didn't have these lucrative NFL careers, but got to go back and live a normal life. And they make a lot of money doing it because their name matters. It carries weight. And if you're transferring to four different schools, or if you're leaving your in-state school and going somewhere else, you allow for the opportunity for you to not have a legacy where you could have the biggest one. And it's a blanket statement. Individual players, things work out. If they go out of state, it happens all the time. Players leave their states and they become great. Jackson Dart's not from Mississippi, but Jackson Dart, for the rest of time, will have a legacy that he can leave in the state of Mississippi, right? If he flames out in the NFL, if that just doesn't work out, his name will have value, even not necessarily in the state of Mississippi, but the Ole Miss alumni network will forever take care of Jackson Dart. Forever. Will forever take care of him. And I think that there are some short-sighted financial decisions being made by people because of that. Think missing on some in-state players combined with losing Kelvin and Alex makes a lot of people think the sky is falling. Yeah, I mean, I understand it, but they just got another four-star. I don't think freaking out about a recruiting staffer leaving is the rational approach to it. That's just my opinion, though. With any home games for Ole Miss, they could host a playoff game this year. A lot of people will have to play above current projections for them to get back into the playoff, but it's possible. It's an odd year for Mississippi recruiting. LSU is having their way with South Mississippi, and they'll keep Tristan Keyes. Don't forget, Biloxi's a hell of a lot closer to Baton Rouge than it is Oxford. I'll tell you exactly how far. Biloxi's 2 hours to Baton Rouge and 5 hours to Oxford. That's part of it. And you have the kid that committed to Sacramento State. No kidding, yeah. What I was going to say about a guy like Bolden is, can the staff not take a blueprint from him and hire a good replacement moving forward? Question mark. Kiffin's staff throughout his time in Oxford has gotten better. Exactly. I mean, young, hungry, hotshot recruiting stars are not common, but they're not irreplaceable. You think Ole Miss's ceiling this year is 7-5? No way. Ceiling? No way. Any word on Caleb Cunningham? Is he enrolled early? He did not enroll early. He played basketball, which I like, by the way. I like that he did that. He stuck with his – in a time where everybody's just getting out of high school as fast as humanly possible – he decided to stay and finish out high school and be a high school student and play on the other team that he has committed to or committed his time to, right? We are trying to force high school kids into being adults before they need to. And I know it's beneficial to the program, but he'll be okay. He did not enroll early, but he'll be there. The wide receiver room has, I mean, it's going to start three guys that are veterans, right? I mean, maybe he's a chance. Maybe there would have been a chance if he'd have been there in the spring to take Dejon Stribling's spot or Trey Wallace's spot. But I don't see that. I could be wrong. I know he's a former five-star, but I don't see that. I think that you've got too much at the very top of that receiver room. Who's a freshman stealing the job of? Penn State's leading receiver from last year? Dejon Stribling, who some people think is a first-round pick? It'll be fine. It'll be fine from that perspective. LSU fans bowing down to Brian Kelly right now before they inevitably lose three or four games again. It's a new summer tradition. Simmons might be the smartest all-around quarterback they've had. The talent ceiling for him is higher than the one that Jackson Dart had. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, very smart. Very, very, very smart guy. Any chance on bringing Pete Golding on the show? Lane does not allow his assistants generally to do interviews. Or doesn't make them anyway. They don't do interviews. I will ask, and I will be told no, but I will ask. It's the Nick Saban model. The assistants talk once. It's at the local media day thing that they do. And that's it. So how much do I expect the media questions narrative for Ole Miss to be directed at missing the playoff last year? A little bit. Probably not as much as you think. I think it'll be more about replacing guys as opposed to coming up short. Because, I mean, it's a lot of new. It's a new quarterback, new running back room, two new wide receivers, and so on. Three games, week one, I want to watch. How do you reduce it to three? Texas, Ohio State's obviously the number one. That's just the clear-cut number one. The atmosphere is going to be insane, even though it's at 11 o'clock. Sneaky one, really sneaky one, is Auburn-Baylor on Friday night to start the season. That game is going to have a lot, and I mean a lot, of implications on it. There will be tension on that one. Let's see. So Ohio State, Texas is obviously number one. I guess they're listed in order, right? It's Texas, Ohio State, it's Alabama, Florida State in Tallahassee. That one is going to be fascinating. Is that more fascinating than LSU Clemson? Alabama, Texas, LSU Clemson, Alabama, Florida State, in that order. Those are the three most interesting games of the weekend for sure. But again, Auburn, Baylor has a lot on it. You know, there's a lot of pressure there for Auburn to win that game and Hugh Freeze to win that game, considering how poorly things are going for him this offseason. Mississippi State, Southern Miss is going to be a game I think worth watching. But that will be an interesting as hell football game, even though Mississippi State's a 2-touchdown favorite in that one, by the way. But a whole lot of new there in Hattiesburg. Neil and Chase mentioned this morning that Kentucky could be close to 50% rev share on basketball. What do you think of that and how schools might take away from football, like what Mississippi State is doing? I think it's a mess. I mean, Dellinger just put an article out about how schools are still trying to circumvent the salary cap that won't last very long. Because it's not going to last very long. Deloitte's already denied a bunch of deals, and now there's like an appeals process. And so you haven't had the true outright denial yet. I think once that comes, they're going to get sued. There will always be a workaround until you have real, actual, enforceable rules with a commissioner of the sport that is judge, jury, and executioner in the same way that you have it in the NFL. The current process is a joke, and the enforcement is damn near impossible. So if Kentucky wants to spend that on basketball, that's good for everybody else in the SEC, I guess. But everybody's going to find ways around it, except for Auburn, because they do everything the right way down there at Auburn. But longest movie my kid has watched. So the longest movie that we've done in a theater was the new Lilo and Stitch movie. That was the longest one in a theater. He's watched Avengers Endgame with like some breaks and like getting up and walking around and whatnot. He hasn't sat and watched that entire thing, but in the theater we did Lilo and Stitch, and it was the movie theater in Madison where they have like the recliners, and he loved, like he was constantly pushing the button to make his legs go up and down. But a big old box, a big thing of popcorn and the recliner doing its thing. I think he only stood up once the entire movie. It was awesome. It's a cute little movie. It was goofy, but it's not for us, you know. Soon he'll be ready for Lord of the Rings extended editions. Oh, man, when he turns like 7 or 8, I cannot wait. Texas will beat Ohio State in Columbus? I don't know. Pete Golding seems like a guy you'd want to have a beer with. Oh, absolutely. Pete Golding actually stopped and checked on me while I was broke down on the road when he was at Alabama at the time. He asked me what school I liked. I told him Ole Miss. Oh, I bet he gave you a positive response. There's always been a little Ole Miss in there for sure. Alabama, Florida State seems like a boring 24-10 Bama win. Florida State probably going to be bad again. Yeah, and the Castellanos needs to kind of shut his mouth a little bit. I like quarterbacks a little confidence and swagger, but maybe he might be taking it a little bit too far. But I'm curious to see what he can do in Gus's system. I think he's the kind of quarterback that can really do a lot of really good things with Gus Malzahn. In Florida State, I mean, they went 2-10, so they were bad kind of all around. But quarterback play really held them down a year ago. They're still only winning, you know, 7 games or whatever, but with average to above average quarterback play, and they sure as hell don't finish that. I mean, DJ was awful, absolutely awful. So, what's up? Still stuck on 11-1? Oh, man. Should have gotten there. You should have gotten there. Daughter made us go see Lilo and Stitch in the new Lost World, 2 bathroom breaks, long movie. That's not too bad. In a movie, in a Jurassic Park movie, if it was just 2, you did fine. You did fine. The only problem is, you know, he thinks that you can pause everything. So that'll be an issue when we go see the Jurassic Park. If Baylor beats Auburn, I can't wait to see the tweets. Oh my gosh. Oh, that night on this website is going to be, it's going to be awful. If I told you game day was in Oxford this year, which game would you pick for that slot? First thought is LSU. I mean, LSU would have to beat Clemson and Ole Miss would have to be undefeated, right, going into that one for it to be that game. Ole Miss is favored to be undefeated going into Athens, but you're talking about game day in Oxford. Yeah, it's probably LSU on the 27th. I know Georgia-Alabama's that day, but in theory, both of them could have losses by then. Alabama could lose at Florida State. Georgia could lose at Tennessee. So maybe that's that takes away from that. Let's see. What other good weekends would there be? Florida could. Let's see. South Carolina's at A&M. Texas is at Georgia. Never mind. South Carolina weekend. That's Georgia, Florida. Kentucky, Auburn, Oklahoma at Tennessee. That's a weak weekend. It could be November 1st hosting South Carolina. It's a pretty weak weekend. You forgot Gus was at Florida State. Yeah, bailed on UCF to be an offensive coordinator because he knew he was on the verge of getting fired. So, South Carolina game. Yeah, I think it might be that one. LSU or South Carolina would be my two picks there. For sure. Those would be my two picks. But anyway, I appreciate you guys. A little bit of an early one tonight. But yeah, I got to run. So I appreciate you guys very much. And we'll be back on Thursday. And then so the plan on Sunday is to leave about 2. So if we leave at 2, that means we would get to Atlanta by 8. I think we'll go ahead and just, the problem is traffic. If we actually leave on time, I've got to get to the hotel, all that stuff, right? I think we'll just skip Sundays live, and I might post a video on Sunday as opposed to going live. I think it's going to be too much of a pain. So we will definitely go live on Monday, though, for sure, after the show and after Ole Miss does their rounds. So if I get there in time, just have your notifications on. We'll go live. I'll also tweet the link, but it just depends. It just simply depends on what we can get there. That's all. So anyway, I'll see you guys on Thursday, though. We're definitely going to be live on Thursday. So see y'all then, and y'all have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.